right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from Maker's Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this.
Chris, man.
Go look.
He's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylon to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't...
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt.
I got hello,
gentlemen. Oh, wait.
No, just person.
Just one.
Just one.
Just one.
We are down a man this evening.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any large jokes. Just going to leave it alone. We are down a individual.
That's right. We are down the third person.
Yes, we are. So. The third person. I don't think he's ever been called that before.
No, he might be insulted by that. I did not mean any insult.
No, I didn't.
Unless you infer.
I'm going to pretend that you
and
did
you laugh,
that.
Then I'll laugh too. yes, Big Kev is not with us this evening.
He's not.
He had other things going on.
Some things.
And I don't know if he wants us to mention this or not, but I'm gonna anyway. It is his birthday, so maybe that's part
it
of it.
Is. It maybe, is his birthday. So wish him a happy birthday.
So wish him a happy birthday. That's tweet right. Go to Twitter. That's right.
Yes, tweet at him where he is tweeting.
At BK Geek Stuff.
Yep.
And wish him a happy birthday. Of course, by the time you hear this, it will be a belated birthday.
Yes.
But a birthday nonetheless.
Indeed. I'm sure he'll be celebrating, you know.
Drinking. He doesn't drink.
No, he doesn't drink.
Water. Chocolate milk.
He'll be enjoying some good chocolate milk. Is he a lactose intolerant? Also?
He is, but I'm
chocolate-flavored.
But I'm going to share a tale. I'm going to share a tale.
Ah,
of Big
sharing
Kev.
A tale.
Outside of the confines of the show, during the course of our friendship, me and Big Kev worked at the Connecticut Renaissance Festival for several seasons. We were an act. We had a gig that we did up there. It was lots of fun.
Cool.
And one of the things we would do, you know, we would go up Friday night, come home Sunday night. So we spent a weekend up there because it was up in Bumblefuck, Connecticut. It was like Putnam, Connecticut.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was like all the way out in the sticks. Yeah. Bugs bigger than people kind of thing.
That's all Connecticut is good for, though, right?
What is that? No, yeah. I mean, I guess like Hartford is okay.
Hartford, yeah. Stanford. Bumblefuck.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
It's like Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Harrisburg.
Everything in between.
Bumblefuck.
Right. I guess. Easton, I hear, is up and coming.
Oh, is it? Okay. Up and coming. They just built their first building with modern plumbing. It's great.
So got their the Connecticut modems. Renaissance Festival.
Yes. Sorry.
And we were working, and we go out like every Saturday night or whatever with like the whole cast and everybody has a good time.
Yeah, cool.
We go out to this bar.
I've still never been to a Renaissance
drinking. Fair. You've never been to any at all?
No.
Like not even New York?
No.
We'll have to change that this year.
I think I'm going to go this year. Yeah.
We should go. It's fun. It's a good day.
Do I have to get a costume though?
No, you do not have. You absolutely. You can, but you do not.
Okay.
I do.
Right.
But you do not have to.
Fair enough. So it's not, it's not weird. It's not like if you go to a nude beach clothed, you're weird.
No.
It's not like that kind of thing. You no. can go in normal clothing and they're going to be like, ah, welcome, myth thou.
Right, right. So really what it is timer. Is there are benefits to going in costume. Right. Aside from the fact that you kind of look like you might fit in with the in crowd.
Right.
For the most part, you don't get picked on if you're in costume, which is the complete opposite of what you would expect.
Right.
But during shows that involve like audience participation, for example.
Right.
You're they like, will not pick costumed patrons.
Because they're going to play along.
Right. A, they're going to play along and it might make it less fun.
Yeah.
And B, because they, you people spend it. Some intense money on their garb yeah. and their costuming. And no one wants to have a guy get up on stage and rip something or poke somebody with a sword or some shit.
Yeah.
It's just a liability issue.
Gotcha.
And again, it's kind of like a courtesy almost. Like, I'm not going to make your day miserable because you put in a little extra effort.
Fair enough.
However, the guy next to you with the farmer's tan and the tank top,
yeah.
fuck that guy.
Yeah. We're going to make fun of that hillbilly asshole right now.
All day.
Yeah.
He from may Bumble or may not have to kiss an animal on stage.
Wow.
Because he didn't put in the effort. I'm just saying.
Well, shit, now I'm torn.
So there are positives.
I'll get like a hat.
Yeah.
I'll go halfway.
And then on Black Monday, if you're like a real Rennie and you go on garb, you don't actually have to dress as a Rennie. That, like, we went one year, me and a bunch of friends went one year on Black Monday, dressed as the cast from Serenity.
Ah.
So, yeah, you know, funny things. But anyway.
Almost accidentally get you to say
funny. Almost. I was close. Yeah. I was like right on the tip of my tongue.
All right. So,
let's get back.
You're in Connecticut.
So, we're in Connecticut. We're working at the festival. We go out with the cast afterwards, and everybody's drinking beers and eating burgers and steak and all that shit. And Big Kev, who does not drink,
right.
orders a pitcher of chocolate milk with a straw.
What the fuck?
So
see, but that makes him just as sick as if it were a pitcher of
absolutely
mead or some shit.
Absolutely.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So picture us sitting around this large table.
That's great.
He's got a pitcher of chocolate milk with a bendy straw in it.
What the fuck?
So there you go. There's your image of the week. Big Kev drinking a pitcher of chocolate milk after a Renaissance festival in Connecticut.
That's awesome.
So there you go.
I like that.
So perhaps he's drinking a pitcher of chocolate milk to celebrate. Soy milk. Chocolate soy milk.
Chocolate soy milk. Almond milk or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know how almonds make milk, but...
It's just really crushed almonds in water.
Yeah, it really is.
It's all it is.
It's not really milk.
It's disgusting.
They really shouldn't be able
I
to
drink it
milk.
But it's disgusting.
Is it bad?
Yeah, it's not really that good.
You know the other progressive fucking food that I'm supposed to have? Cookie butter? Have you heard of this, Mashable?
What is cookie butter?
Cookie butter is delicious. It's from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
A proud sponsor. No. cookie butter. It's delicious. That's all I can say.
All right.
Put it on a banana or a cracker or a cookie.
But what is it? Like, what does it taste like?
Does it taste like cookie dough?
No, it
makes whatever you put it on taste like a cookie of that thing. So, for example, if you put cookie butter on a banana,
right.
It now tastes like a banana cookie.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
So is it like just sweetened butter maybe?
I guess. I don't know what it's made out of, so I can't tell you that.
All right, I'm going to have to research this.
At a Trader Joe's, I need to pick some up actually. But
are they the only ones that carry it? Like, is it a Trader Joe's product?
I've only seen it from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
I'm sure it's one of those things that, you know, Trader Joe's or Whole Foods has one. And
right, I was going to say, Fairway might have it or something.
Right, one of those places probably has. I don't know if it's Trader Joe's exclusive, and if it is, someone else has made a knockoff by now.
Right.
But I know it from Trader Joe's. So yeah, definitely check it out.
All right, I'm going to have to look at you, cookie butter.
So you,
so
now
I.
If you have stuck, dear listener, through this 10-minute intro.
Hey, listen, we don't promise anything.
It's
when they
true.
Listen to this show.
We promise a show will happen.
That's right. We promise that the mics will get turned on,
yep.
a conversation will be had.
Yep.
What we discuss, anybody's guess.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the show is called Geek Stuff, anybody's guess.
It's geeks talking about stuff.
Listen, we just spoke about Renaissance festivals.
Chocolate milk. And how almonds don't have tits.
So there you go.
That could all be
geek stuff, I'm sure, in some capacity.
Sure. Almonds. Yeah. Always.
Always.
A group of nuts. So this is episode 326.
This is, in fact, episode 326.
And we are begrudgingly calling it SSL is SOL.
That's right.
So the three tech people out there laugh a little bit, and the rest of you, I'm just going to say the word heartbleed, and that's what it refers to.
I found out through an app available in the Android store that my phone...
Is it a real one or the one that tells you you have malware?
No, it's the Lookout one.
Oh, that's the real one.
That's the real one,
Lookout
yeah.
and Cerberus are real.
Right, so Lookout actually has a heartbleed app now.
Oh, that's
for an Android phone, Android devices, which will tell you if you're running a version of the Android software that is susceptible to heartbleed. And I'm reading the article and it's like, if you have this or above, your phone is fine. So I'm like, oh, I have that or above. I'm kosher, but I'm going to download it anyway because I kind of want to see what the interface is like and what it looks like. And yeah. I run it and it's like, your phone is possibly susceptible. I'm like, article, completely bullshit. Hopefully the app is right. Of course, the article goes on to say that they haven't actually seen any evidence that it's affected phones, but it could.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
I just hate that. It's, you know. The fact that, I mean, they do this all the time, but it's trading on fear for you to buy and
of course.
Get ad sales and shit.
Of course.
It's nonsense. But basically, if you don't know what it is, and we're not going to go into a huge technical explanation, change your password on everything that you have.
Yeah, actually.
Except Google. Anything Google related, you're fine.
Now, see, I saw an infographic today that had all the sites that you should change and the sites you don't have to change.
Yeah.
And Google, it was like everything Google you should change.
I heard the opposite.
No, it's like, and then look, well, that makes sense if the Android phones are possibly susceptible too. It's Google Android operating system.
Well,
so.
What's really interesting is, I mean, maybe they're just saying that just because, but what was interesting, I read an article that when this came out, before it was released to the media, because you want to, Google, I think Google and another company,
right.
Microsoft maybe, heard about it before it was announced and were able to fix all their vulnerabilities.
Yes, except that they're saying that because it's been around for so long, if your password hasn't changed recently, like if you've been using the same password for the past 5 years, for example,
right.
Heartbleed has been around for, what, 6 or 7 years, I think I read, right?
Something like crazy.
That. It's potential that you could have an issue.
Fair enough. But, I mean, this recent vulnerability discovered and fucked up, like the
right.
you know the news coming out and people getting... Google hasn't been susceptible to that. They fixed it recently.
So if I haven't seen any effects yet, well, I guess I could still see effects, right? But
you could. I mean, it's like the chip. But here's the thing. It's the same. You know, people turn on two-step authentication, all that
right.
kind of shit. It's why not be safe? Just change your fucking password.
Right, exactly.
Turn on two-step authentication. Because, oh, it'll never be me until it's you.
Until
and
it's
now
you.
Some
your
asshole charged some weird thing and bought plane tickets to California. And, you
right.
know,
so that bank, kind of thing. Banking websites are okay. But like Amazon is not, for example.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So the article that I was reading was really interesting. It was about how Google found out for some reason.
Right.
Because the people they know, the tech people they know, told Google before they told Amazon.
Oh,
and it
okay.
was like, why is that allowed? Why is it okay if democratically for them to tell certain companies and not tell other
yeah.
companies? And it was who do you pay in security to tell you what? It was just a little fucked up.
It was a little shady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems that way.
All right. Well, anyway, change your passwords. Moral of the story.
Change your passwords.
Change your passwords.
Change your passwords. And monitor your bank statements. And hopefully you did your taxes.
There you go. There you go. That's right. Yesterday was tax day.
It was. Well,
I did
not
my taxes
yesterday
a while ago.
For an April 15th.
Oh, right. 2 days ago.
Day. We
gotta
be clear.
Technically.
Yeah.
Whenever the hell you're listening, it was the 15th.
Yeah, 15th was. So hopefully you did your taxes.
Hopefully. It has to be postmarked by the 15th. It doesn't have to be submitted.
Yes, it had to be
15th.
Or
submitted electronically
before
by the
midnight.
15th. Right.
I don't know, midnight. I guess
I did mine
Eastern,
a couple weeks
Pacific.
Ago.
I did not. I did it April 14th.
Ah, nice, nice.
And I owed the Fed.
I normally do it way early, except that this year one of my wife's freelance employers
didn't send the W-2.
No, well after the actual deadline. So fuck that noise.
Yeah, it's not her fault.
No, absolutely not. But we didn't want to file because we didn't know how it would affect
right,
our return, and we didn't
up.
Want to potentially run the red flag of there being an audit.
Yes.
So we waited as long as we weren't going to be late.
Yeah, fuck it.
We waited until we got it, and we did eventually get it. But anyway,
that's bullshit.
We're
way off base.
way
so
off base.
News. Tell
so,
me about news.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some footage/trailers.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's all go. Just kidding.
No. I play it as a light music bed now. You can barely hear it when you play.
It's not. It's like subconscious.
That's
way
right.
the way that was originally intended.
Exactly.
To go to the lobby and get yourself
go
some
yourself
snacks.
some snacks.
Yeah. Should play the Aqua Teen version.
yeah. Is there an Aqua Teen version? Oh yes. Yeah.
You know
listened to it last
about?
Week.
Yeah. That's.
Oh no, we listened to it that night at the movie theater.
Yeah,
I think.
Was,
right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so some trailers. Well, not really a trailer, but there was some new additional sort of scene, but not really seeing Guardians footage.
Yeah.
Which, as far as I'm concerned, the only significant thing to come out of that was further affirmation that I don't think Bradley Cooper should be voicing Rocket Raccoon. And we get to see a much better version of Star-Lord's mask.
Yeah.
For those of you who want to see that
yep.
aspect of it, you see that.
Looks good.
Otherwise, it was okay.
Yeah.
I know nothing significant.
I'm excited to see that movie. I still think it's the riskiest one.
I do, but it's getting a lot of buzz. And I don't know if that's pre-buzz, if that's made up buzz.
Yeah, but you got to think outside of the geek community.
Right.
If you ask people, are you going to go see that? They say, what the fuck is Guardians of the Galaxy?
Right. Yeah. See, it's,
you know what I mean? The only thing I know is that I have officially gotten everyone hooked on a feeling stuck in everyone's head.
Fantastic.
Because that song is catchy as shit.
It is catchy as shit.
And it's just nice to go around.
And it's
around.
In every version of the trailer.
Yep.
Every footage, everything you see. Oh, gotcha.
They must have paid a lot for those licensing fees.
It's Disney. They got that Disney money throwing that around. They might even own it for all we know. They might have owned it.
I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But yeah, I'm excited to see it, but just think, you know, I don't know how big that movie really is going to hit opening weekend.
The way I see it, in order for it to be a success, in order for that movie to be a success, it has to break even plus a little bit more. And I do not think it will have a problem doing that.
I think that's even. I agree. I just don't think you're going to see, oh, wow, it hit like Thor and Captain America numbers.
It's not
going to
be cat
way.
Money.
Not at all.
It's not going to be cat money.
No.
But if it's Thor 1 money, I think it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just risky venture.
It is.
It's cool. I'm excited that they're doing it. And I think it opens the doors for a lot of other stuff. If it goes well.
I think the saving grace will be, even if it doesn't do well opening weekend, I think it overall will do well, DVD sales, et cetera.
Yes,
because
I agree with that.
The people that don't rush out to see it in the theater, who realize that it's going to be part of the overall Avengers 3 storyline,
yep,
will eventually want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
So those sales, it'll make its money back.
Just because it's part of the Marvel thing that they're doing, it'll make its money back. It'll be fine.
Absolutely.
I just don't see a surprise blockbuster weekend kind of thing.
I'd love to. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's happening either. But we will see it.
Of course.
And we'll talk about it on the show.
We will.
You know what I'm more excited for?
What?
Maybe because it's sooner.
What?
Days of Future Past.
Which looks awesome.
Yep.
Every time I see a trailer or footage or something for it, I get more excited, except for Quicksilver still bothers the shit out of me. But
yeah, a little weird.
And what was he in a Subway commercial or Quiznos commercial?
Yeah, I can't hold an actor
but
accountable for being getting paid work.
No, absolutely not. But the newest footage,
unless Jared shows up.
Yeah. If Jared
I lost
is an
58
X-Men,
pounds. Oh my
they cast
God.
Jared as the Blob. Could you imagine? That'd just be funny. So the last final official trailer, whatever the fuck they're dubbing this most recent version. It's cool. There's some more new things you see, but don't see, but see.
Yeah.
Blink looks great. Some of that opening, you know, it looks good. I'm not going to say too much about it because I kind of feel like there was nothing significantly new in it.
No.
Just maybe some.
No, and I think if you don't know the story from the books, most of you listening probably know the story from the books.
Right.
But if you don't, it hasn't given everything away, which I really like the trailer so far. But I have done this new thing where when we're this close to the release of the movie, I'm not watching any more promotional shit.
I did that with Cap.
Yeah,
I did that with
Cap, and I'm doing that with Days of Future Past. I'm doing that with everything that I wanted, because it's just, there are some trailers that's literally like, here's the beginning, the middle, and the end of the movie. And then when I'm watching the movie, I'm thinking, oh, this is when that trailer scene is going to come up, and I already figured out the plot of the movie. I don't want to do that. I want to be surprised. I want to be in your universe. So for Days of Future Past, you know, I'm just excited to go into the theaters and see it.
Good.
And I'm ready for that movie to come out.
I do want to say more things about Days of Future Past in
general,
but I want to move on to something else because of something you just said.
Sure.
So I read an early review today of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Does that open this weekend or next
weekend?
No,
I think it's
soon.
I think it's next week.
Well, clearly they're showing it to critics already.
Okay.
Because I read an early review today.
They could be trying for some hype, so it could be 2-3 weeks early.
Well, if they're trying for hype,
it got panned.
The review that I read was a 2-star review.
Jesus.
I don't remember the website, so you have to take that into consideration. But
is it Latino review?
It was not Latino review. But I read the guy's review, and it wasn't a whiny, bitchy comic book fanboy, I hate this because review.
Right.
It was actually a pretty well written, like, his criticism seemed legit review.
Got it.
He said a lot of the things that you see in the trailers are a bunch of things in the trailer that are not actually in the movie. So, and we've seen this before. That's not the first time we've seen things like that, where the trailer comes out so early and then the final product ends up cutting something.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So this plays to your point where sometimes you see shit in the trailer that you think is going to be.
That's true.
Significantly
relevant. But that's even worse. So,
of course, now you have
I don't like having the movie spoiled by the trailer,
right.
But it's even worse when you're like, wait a minute, what the fuck? You totally hinted at a plot that sounded awesome and now it is not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so the review said things about it being kind of silly in the dialogue. It was poorly written, and it was childish, yeah, but, and you know, overly silly.
That's Spider-Man.
Yeah, but
Spider-Man is some silly shit. All right,
but what I gathered from it was that it was worse than even Spider-Man. I went back and watched the first Andrew Garfield Spider-Man.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want to kind of see the new movie. Yeah. I kind of feel like I should watch it. And on second viewing, because I only watched it once when it first came out. Second viewing, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Except the lizard.
Yeah,
lizard. Which I know is huge because he's the main villain.
Right. It doesn't really.
But like, I liked Andrew Garfield's portrayal.
That's what I'm
Peter
saying.
Parker,
that's what I said when it
and
came
I
out.
I liked Emma Stone. And I think I said those things when it first came out, but I liked it.
I even liked
Aunt
May. Yeah, it was solid, and I liked it more than the original. Yeah, I know people are gonna hate me for that. I just don't get fucking Tobey.
In my personal opinion,
just hate Tobey Maguire.
In my personal opinion,
yeah,
Spider-Man 2, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2,
yeah,
is still one of the best comic book movies out there. In my personal opinion,
I understand why you say that.
Considering all the Marvel movies and everything.
I will agree with some of your points.
Okay.
Before you make them.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not going
to
make any points.
No, I'm not saying that we're going to have a huge debate. I'm just saying, but I don't enjoy it enough to say that. So I'm like, yes, like I intellectually agree with you, but I don't enjoy it enough as a film to be like, absolutely great. It was really good when it came out.
It was.
If I had to put it like, you know, that short list of sequels better than the original, I would put that on there.
Yeah.
And then the third one came out.
Shit the bed. It shit the bed.
Yeah. But.
So
Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Yeah, so but ASM2, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
Electro apparently is very childish. Paul Giamatti is horrendous with his Russian accent, I hear. Goblin is barely in the film.
Is this like a comic book movie made by people who don't understand comic books? It sounds like one of those kinds of things.
Like
they read the strips when they were five and decided.
I think it's a comic book movie that's by someone who thinks he understands Spider-Man. Based on what he's heard about Spider-Man versus a true one. Like, I think he's trying to make
like
it
he
funny.
He read the Marvelpedia page.
Right. He's
but
trying
didn't
to make
actually
it funny because someone told him at some point in time over coffee, you know, Peter Parker's kind of witty and funny. And he's like, oh, I could do witty and funny.
Got it.
You know what I mean? So it's like too far. In
Got
the
it.
Funny zone.
You know, we'll see. Sure. I mean, there are certain reviews that I agree with a lot. And then there's sometimes where I actually kind of like the movie and the review makes me like the movie less. I hate that shit too.
Every single review you read, you have to take with a grain of salt.
But do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever really liked a movie? And then I've probably done this to a lot of people, so I apologize in advance. But have you ever really liked a movie and then someone convinces you not to? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever read a review?
Like successfully convinced
you've
me?
Talked,
no.
Or you've talked to a friend and you have a conversation, not forever, but for like for the hour that you have that conversation, you go, you know what? You're right. There are a lot of problems. I shouldn't like that movie. You do anyway.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have a strong enough, you know, you cling to your, no, I actually did like that. But for about an hour, you doubt yourself.
Yeah.
I've had that. I've had a long conversation. I'm like, you're right. I shouldn't have liked that movie. That was shit.
Yeah.
No, fuck you. I enjoyed it. But during the time where we're talking about it, I'm like, you're right. Yeah.
You're like, okay, I could see those points.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like in your brain, you kind of still justify them because of the joy that you got out of
exactly.
it. Which is totally cool.
Yeah, and there's a difference between a good film and an enjoyable movie.
Absolutely. You know, Army of Darkness is a terrible film. But I love the shit out of Army of Darkness. And we'll watch it every time I have the opportunity.
When one is both, that's amazing.
Absolutely.
And that's, yeah.
I will concur.
I'm excited to see the new stuff coming out. And I really want to see Transcendence, but also reviews have panned that shit.
Transcendence, who's in that
That's
one?
The Johnny Depp movie directed by Wallace
Christian. Yeah, I read a really bad review this morning, today, too.
And there was a review that said, it looks like it should be as good as you think it is, but it isn't, and here's why. And then I stopped reading, because I'm just going to go see it on my own and see what
right, and I didn't even bother to read the review that I read this morning, because the headline of the review...
Yeah.
The headline of the article linking to the review...
Jesus Christ.
...was panning the movie based on Johnny Depp. Now, the reason I stopped reading immediately at that point...
Yeah.
...is because I really like Johnny Depp in pretty much everything he's done. I even like... And I know this is blasphemous to some people.
What the fuck?
I even like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
It's not his most amazing performance, but I looked at it as something different than Willy Wonka. I treated it as its own animal.
Fair enough.
And in that regard, I didn't hate that movie.
Yeah, okay.
And I like Johnny Depp. Like, I think he's done a lot of crazy roles. I think he's done some great roles.
Yeah.
And so
Johnny Depp's a versatile dude. Right. Yeah, I like Johnny
Depp. So I don't discount anything just because
Johnny Depp. If the review is going to say how much they don't like Johnny Depp, you're then not going to agree with that review. So clearly. Who gives a shit? Yeah, I understand. So, mine was something like, it sounds like it's set up to be a Nolan-y movie, which is it's intellectual and deep, but it has an emotional center and it's crazy and it has great production value. And you're right. However, what happens instead is it devolves into like a 90s paranoia thing that doesn't understand modern technology and it really doesn't make any sense.
All right.
And I was like, oh man, that sounds terrible. I'm going to go see it and decide for myself.
Of course. Exactly. Well, that's the most important thing about
reviews. As long as they get my money, who gives a shit?
Exactly. So they don't care.
I'll go see it.
There may not be a Transcendence 2, but who cares?
Well, I hope there is not a Transcendence 2.
You don't know that. Maybe it's great.
There should not be a Transcendence 2. Ugh, fuck that.
All right. Let's move forward.
Speaking of Peter Dinklage.
We can move to that, but before we do that, because I kind of want to stick in this little, watch the video online vein.
Let's do it. Oh, yes.
Bruce Timm.
Yes.
So in honor of the 75th anniversary of Batman this year, they have a couple of animated shorts that they have coming out.
Yeah.
The first one is Bruce Timm.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was really good.
And the one thing I took out, two things I took out of it. First of all,
I want more Batman animated
series. I really
want
more 90s Batman animated series. Right? I really want Bruce Timm to be involved in Batman animated stuff again.
Are they still doing Batman? Oh, they are. I just don't watch it.
No, I think that show got canceled. The Beware of the Batman show or whatever. I think it got canceled. I don't think it's around anymore.
Oh.
Bruce Timm needs to do animated Batman stuff.
Yeah.
Darwin Cook is going to be the one that's doing that. He's doing the second animated one. And I really like Darwin Cook. And I really like Darwin Cook's take on Batman.
Yep.
And his DC stuff. I don't remember the name of the DC one that he did. Was it The Brave and the Bold, I think? Batman, or was it one that was based on The Brave and the Bold? Or
not, yeah, okay. No.
It's not Brave and the Bold. It's that kind of stylized, nostalgic one. Maybe it was Brave and the Bold. I don't remember.
Darwin.
It wasn't the cartoon. Because Brave and the Bold was the cartoon. It was a movie. It was one of the DC movies. What the fuck was it called now?
What are you doing?
It's really kind of like nostalgically style. Darwin Cook. DARWYNCOOKE.
WYN.
Yes, I believe. I believe it's DARWYN.
Douchebag.
And it's COOKE, I believe. But anyway, he's going to be doing the second one.
Got it.
The other thing I took out of the Batman one was up until like the last 30 seconds or so, I really thought that whole short was not going to have Batman uttering a single word.
Me too.
He doesn't speak at all.
Yeah, I thought they couldn't get it, but then they got the Batman, Kevin Conroy.
And I was like, all right, this is great. But I actually really liked that Batman was kind of reserved.
He was Batman.
There was something really great about that presentation of the character. So that really stood out for me. I'll post a link to that on the website in case you haven't seen it yet.
It's on their YouTube channel.
Okay.
Definitely check it out. Did you find the Darwin Cook? No, I found his stuff. He's a Canadian comic book writer, artist, blah, blah, blah.
Look up DC movie. Darwin Cook DC movie. DC animated movie. It's got to be there. We'll come back to it.
Yep.
While you're looking that up. But you did mention Peter Dinklage. So did you want to mention Game of Thrones?
Yeah. So huge spoiler.
Fuck Mashable.
What are you talking about? Spoiler. So anyone who has not caught up on Game of Thrones, we're talking about episode 2 of season 4.
Yes.
Skip ahead for like 2 minutes.
Mashable tweeted the spoiler.
Don't you know not to go near Twitter?
Yeah, but
like,
all right,
on.
But here's my problem.
I agree with you. Fuck them. But also,
yes, I do know to avoid certain things on Twitter. But here's my problem. Not only did they spoil it, but they spoiled it literally 2 minutes after the East Coast viewing. So it's not like they just spoiled it for guys who had to watch it late. They spoiled it for the West Coast.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
like
that's
they
a
didn't
good
even
point.
Wait. Like they didn't even give the courtesy of the time zone difference.
That's a
like
good
it was
point.
9 to 10 or whatever. What's Game of Thrones on? 9 to 10 or 10 to 11? I think it's 9 to 10, right?
I think it's
9 to 10. 10:03, they sent out a tweet that spoiled. Spoiler alert, Joffrey's death. Like, it was like they didn't even fucking give
that's
the other
up.
Side of the country a chance. You know, and everybody else was like, oh my God, huge spoiler, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of knew it was coming anyway, but fuck them. for on behalf of other people, you know what I mean? It was really kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
It was really kind of a dick move.
I did not see that coming at all. I did not read the books, I should say.
Well, I knew his death was coming. I didn't know it was going to be this week.
Well, that was cool. And they said that in like the behind the episode. Right. They're like, we know most of the show is a slow build to something crazy. So we said, fuck that. Let's do something crazy immediately.
Right.
And I was like, awesome. All right. Let's go on. And you know, I'm sure anyone who reads the book, anybody talking about speculation, they're just like, oh, I already know what happens. And in the books, they tell you beforehand and blah, blah, blah. Great. Good for you. I didn't read it. So I'm going to look at, but, I think it's his wife. I'm just going to throw that out there. I have no idea.
You think it's his wife?
I think it's the no longer queen lady.
Yes, it's either his wife. I don't know either. So neither of us have read the book. Yeah. I think it's either his wife or his mother-in-law.
Oh, the lady.
Whatever. The wife's Marjorie's
mom. And they couldn't have been working together. Yeah. But I think it's her.
But what I found most what threw me for a loop was why did that dude pull Sansa at the end of the episode?
Because
it kind of seemed like it was pointing to her.
Well, I think they figure she's going to be blamed immediately.
You think so? And not Tyrion? Because Tyrion clearly is immediately blamed by Cersei.
Yeah, but he's going to get out of it somehow. He's a Lannister.
Of course.
He's a Lannister. Of course. She is a disposable, you know. I don't know. Maybe the whole point of killing him is a rebellion, and it's actually through Stark because they're alive. You know what I mean?
I don't think Sansa knew.
I have no idea what the fuck's going on. I don't think Sansa knew. I don't think she's involved at all.
But great episode.
Yeah, really, really solid
episode. I saw a very funny meme today. Is it meme? Is that the
correct? I don't know what it is yet.
Internet meme?
Yes, that's how you pronounce it.
It was sign this. It was one of those petition.org, whatever. Sign this petition because this guy ruined Game of Thrones by writing a bunch of books, and it's just a picture of George R. Martin. Yeah,
that's really funny. That's great.
So, that's any awesome. any other videos that you saw? I mean, I saw. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I saw like some footage from the Tonight's Arrow. I barely watched it because I was like, it's on tonight. Like, why do I want to watch this? I'm going to watch it in like a couple hours.
Darwin Cook, by the way, is known for working in the animation department on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
He never did one.
No, he did.
Batman Beyond, he was involved in.
No, I'm almost 100%
IMDb
positive.
Does not have him credited with anything.
He did an animated movie.
Okay.
And I wish it's going to bother the shit out of me. I actually have, it was based on a comic book. New Frontier.
Is New Frontier?
Look up DC animated movie New Frontier and see if Darwin Cook was associated with that.
Okay.
Let's move on. Let's go back to some Days of Future Past.
Let's do it.
Fox has already announced that Jennifer Lawrence, Michael Fassbender, and James McAvoy are set to return for X-Men Apocalypse, which we know is the next film.
It's based on Darwin Cook, The New Frontier. He wrote the series. The comic, but not the animated. He was involved in the animated one.
Guess what? Then whoever did the animated work, it was completely influenced by Darwin Cook's animation style.
Yeah.
Completely influenced by his style. I knew I would think of it eventually. I knew I would get there.
There you go.
So there was that. I don't know. I'm kind of excited about Age of Apocalypse or Apocalypse or whatever the hell it is. Only because I've always been an Apocalypse fan. I like that character. The Age of Apocalypse is one of my favorite long time running X-Men miniseries. I think some great characters came out of that. Great storylines. And clearly there are some things that they're teasing at that even in Days of Future Past. So that's cool. I also read something today that they're talking about solo movies. Mm-hmm. I heard
Mystique. Yeah.
And, Channing Tatum wants to play Gambit in a Gambit solo movie. What
the fuck?
I don't know. And Deadpool apparently is still around. Like, that's according to Fox. Like, we haven't given up on
Deadpool.
On Deadpool. So that's interesting.
I'd see a Mystique movie.
I like the character. Yeah. But see, here's the catch. For me, in order to do a good Mystique movie, or in order to do a Mystique movie that I would really be interesting in, you'd have to bring Nightcrawler back. Because I want to see Mystique and Azazel, the red guy from First Class.
Right.
I want to see them come together and bring about Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Mystique and Azazel are Nightcrawler's mom and dad.
Yeah.
So, and Nightcrawler, clearly one of my favorite X-Men. So
no.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that happen. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I think Nightcrawler is one of those guys I still want to bring back.
Yeah. I'm still really, really, really hoping that Marvel figures their shit out and stops being separated by Fox and by DreamWorks and by Sony.
You know what, though? I think,
not DreamWorks.
I think if you asked anybody at Marvel, they'd be like, yes, absolutely. The problem is that the contracts are in place.
But it sucks.
Well,
like secretly I was hoping, so I know this is out of play, but secretly I was hoping on S.H.I.E.L.D. that they would run into Wolverine somehow. Yeah. I know it doesn't make any fucking sense, but they're like, hey, we're going to go in the wilderness in Canada. I'm like,
I'm not saying that it's not impossible that it can't happen, but
not for a while.
But somebody has to make the first move.
Well, they're waiting out till 2028.
Disney doesn't have to make the first move. It's what's his name has to make. It's Sony or Fox have to make the first move. They have to approach Disney. But
why would they want to?
Of course.
Why would Fox or any of them want to lose that money? The truth is they could put it in the same universe.
Right. Well, I don't know that Fox would lose money because Fox would sell.
Yeah.
Fox would sell a portion of the character rights back to Disney, and then back end deal would be that they would get a percentage of the film. Disney benefits from getting to introduce Spider-Man into the Avengers.
That may be too much though, right? At this point.
Of course it is.
You know what I mean? Like a little crossover here and there. I'd like to see that. I think it'd be cool. I think if they had Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch actually be fucking
like
X-Men,
the same characters.
Yeah. Like that would be nice. Yeah.
Let's talk about something that I think is kind of significant.
Sure.
Depending on how you look at it. Amazon, well, some people really like this and some people hate this. Amazon acquired Comixology last week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So this is significant in a couple ways. You could look at it as this is great because Amazon has a much larger user base, and so it opens up more people to potentially purchase off of Comixology. Some people are looking at it as, well, how is this going to affect certain free books, independent books that get published through Comixology, blah, 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 blah.
My guess is Comixology is a pretty good service.
Right.
It's pretty popular. My guess is Amazon doesn't touch it.
That's what I'll tell you how they affect it. Amazon is not going to change how it runs.
It comes as a default app on your Kindle.
Right.
And it can only bring comics to a larger audience.
Right.
And awesome.
I think that you will see the availability of digital comics on the Amazon site.
Yeah.
Which will simply link back to, you know, you'll be able to click a link and instead of buying the Kindle edition, you'll buy the Comixology edition.
Yep.
I think you'll see that, but I don't think Amazon is going to fiddle with it because it's a model that's worked and proven itself quite well. And Amazon doesn't want to mess with that.
No, I don't think so.
So I'm not as concerned
as
some people.
This is an acquisition that makes sense, unlike Facebook buying.
Yeah, well,
which I don't even want to bring up.
Yeah, like let's just leave that for where it is.
Indeed.
That's
okay. Amazon's still trying to take over the world. That's fine.
As soon as they can deliver a drone to the front of my doorstep,
right?
Then that's when it becomes a problem. Up until then, I'm okay.
Nah, you're gonna be excited for that. You'll buy some shit.
I'm a Prime member, bitch. Yeah.
You know, Prime is a fucking amazing service. If you think about this,
it is.
You are excited to pay Amazon for the ability to buy stuff.
Absolutely.
That is an amazing service. They found a way for people to be really happy to pay them to pay them money. That's an amazing feat. I find that incredible.
And
I'm not saying it's not a great service because anyone I know, even knowing that, is like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, it's Prime. And I think, I don't know. The way that they work that out is...
I don't know. I find the value... I find that it's still worth the value.
Yeah.
When the price goes up next year, I might have to reevaluate it. But for, you know, for holiday shopping, for example.
Yeah.
It was like the money I saved on shipping alone, because I know you could wait the whatever it is, 10 days and get it for free anyway if you spend more than $25.
Right.
But I can't tell you how much shit since I've gotten Prime, I can't tell you how much shit that I've bought under the $25 threshold. Like I used to upsell myself to get to the or I used to wait. Like I would add shit to my cart and then when I hit $25 2 months down the road, I would place an order.
Now that thing you want, you get it.
I'm like, I want that thing. It's $9. Boom, and it's here on 2 days later. It's like at my door.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Yeah, so I'm down with Prime.
Prime's cool. Also, it allows you to, you ready for this? Watch Hannibal.
That's right.
Because it's on Prime. It's on video, instant stream, whatever the fuck they're calling. Was it video? Instant video?
Amazon video? They call it Amazon Instant Video or Prime Instant Video
shit.
My only problem with the Prime Instant Video is I feel like it's not available on enough things. Like I still can't watch streaming video on my tablet. Like you have to like backdoor it. No, there is not an Amazon Prime app that allow you to watch video.
Yes, there is.
On the iPad. Is there one for the iPad? There's not one for Android tablets.
There's not one for your phone.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is it an Amazon 100%. Official? Because I know there are backdoor ways to do it.
Except you have to do it on Wi-Fi, I believe. You have to do it on Wi-Fi. But yeah, you can do it on...
I didn't think that there was. I could be wrong. Because again, I don't have an iPad and I don't have an iPhone. So
maybe there's not an Android app, which is a bad decision.
But I thought when I was researching it that you couldn't do it on an iPad either. Legit. But I could be wrong. I'm not sure. So... But either way, I think it's silly. I think it needs to be available in more. I considered getting one of those. What's the Amazon box now?
The Fire thing?
The Fire, yeah.
The Apple TV?
The Apple TV, the Google Chrome, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Amazon Prime. Got more news?
No, I'm going to skip this because it's Heroes and I don't really give two shits about it.
Fuck Heroes.
And we're kind of running a little bit long.
All right.
We are going to take a break, but not really. We're really going to play a voicemail.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back and address that voicemail.
Yeah, let's talk to the voicemail.
Right. Hello, fellas. This is Tom Onabox Groves from Twitter. Just wanted to call. I know this is a little late, but Scapegoat was talking about Hannibal and where they are as opposed to the novels. And I think he said, if I'm not mistaken, that Hannibal wasn't caught or that they were still friends in the novel. And that was a basis on what they were going to do as far as the TV series. But I just finished reading it not too long ago. And Hannibal was already caught in the novel, Red Dragon. And he went to the sanitarium to consult with Hannibal about the murders that they were investigating at the time. I could be wrong, but I thought that's what I heard. And I don't remember the episode that it was mentioned in to go back and reference. So... take care. Bye.
All right.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, thanks for calling in.
That's right.
And second of all, yes, you are right. In the novels, I have not read them in quite a while. Hannibal's captured, but what in the prequel novel to that? So you read? He said Hannibal, right?
No. Did he reference Hannibal? Or did he reference Red Dragon?
I think he said Red Dragon. But before that, they were friends. In the novels, he's already incarcerated. That's okay. What you're saying.
Is Red Dragon's the first book, though, is it not?
But I thought there was a prequel after that. I thought that was the first book.
There was Red Dragon.
Right.
There was Hannibal.
Right.
Oh, no, there was Red Dragon.
Silence of the Lambs.
Hannibal. Was there a fourth movie,
though? We're going by movies, though, not books.
Right. That's what I'm saying, the movies. I know there was the other version of Red Dragon that wasn't Hannibal called Rising. Red Dragon. Oh, Hannibal Rising.
Was before all that.
Takes place before Red Dragon.
Correct.
That's right. Okay.
Yes.
So which was a book as well. Okay.
What I'm saying is, in the show, season 4, I believe, is Red Dragon. So they are friends before that happens.
Okay.
If what I said was that they in the books they are friends,
right?
Clearly not the case.
Okay.
Clearly not the case. So thank you for pointing that out. And yes, I don't remember which episode that is either. But you know what you should do if you are reading them? Go ahead and watch the TV show.
There you go.
Because it's great. And seriously, every episode, it literally gets better every single episode. And last episode was very fucking surprising. They wrapped up an arc.
Has it been renewed yet?
It hasn't.
This is season 2, right?
It is season 2. Yeah. It's on the cusp right now. So there's a site that actually, based on ratings, says whether and historically whether renew it. And right now it's on the likely to be renewed,
right?
Which I'm happy about. But part of me would be happier is if it didn't get renewed by NBC, but it got picked up by a Netflix, Amazon, AMC, HBO, somebody like that. Because one, I want to binge all the episodes at once.
Right.
And two, I don't know how they get all that shit on, you know, they need a little bit bigger budget. Because I read the walkthrough with Brian Fuller, who's the showrunner, and he talks about how on a tight budget they are, which you can't tell at all. But imagine all the stories they could tell if they had a little bit higher budget. And I think an Amazon or Netflix or one of those other methods of channels would give them a higher budget.
Let me play devil's advocate.
I hope it gets renewed. I want to see it.
Let me play devil's advocate.
No matter where the fuck it goes.
Do you think that the lack of a increased budget
actually helps them creatively?
Keeps it on focus? So if they had too much money to run amok,
they would dilute themselves. I don't think.
Do you have that much faith in the creative team based on what you've seen so far?
Based on what I've seen so far, I have faith in the creative team that they would use it wisely.
Okay,
and I think by the time they get to later seasons, they're going to need the budget anyway.
Right.
So if they can prove the amazing what they've done so far with such a little budget, and I think it's way smaller than we think it is. I think they're way below budget for even a show of this level because they're being co-produced by three companies. NBC's probably giving them no fucking money at all, which is why they're going to renew it anyway because there's no risk because it's all it's all produced by a French company and a Korean company. You know what I
mean? Right, right.
You know, if they got a little bit more budget by Amazon, I think there's some really cool stuff that we could see. And I think they're going to need it. This season, last season, I think as it gets to ramp up and as they start telling, you know, the movie stories,
right,
they're going to need a bigger budget. They're going to need it. So I hope they end up getting that budget. I hope Brian Fuller gets to do the show for the 7 or 8 years that he plans, because I would watch. I mean, the show's fucking...
I really have to watch it. I really have to. It's season one anywhere good. Yet? Is it on Netflix?
That's what I said. Amazon Instant.
Said it's on Amazon.
It's exclusively on Amazon Instant Stream.
Is it free or do I have to pay?
If you have Prime, I believe you get it.
Okay.
But I am not 100% sure because I no longer have Prime. Because
I hate shit like on Prime and I'm like, oh, I really want to watch that. I'm not paying $8. Like,
right.
I'm already paying Prime.
Oh, it doesn't count.
Right.
Fuck you.
That's
you
the one
for
bitch.
The $30 right. add-on or whatever.
That's the one bitch I have about Prime.
Yeah.
Like, I pay fucking Netflix. I don't pay. I find something. I just get to watch it.
Yes. I still hate Hulu trying to pretend that they're competing with Netflix, by the way.
I've never liked Hulu.
I'm not doing Hulu.
I'm not a Hulu fan. I've never been a Hulu fan.
I get it. Ads have to exist, but fuck you. I'm not paying to watch ads.
No.
I just can't do it.
No.
So there you have it.
So anyway.
But thanks for calling.
Yes.
And you can call too, the GVM line, 425-920-6050. Please call up and you can hear yourself on a future episode.
That's right.
Definitely check it out. I also wanted to say, or unless you wanted to,
no,
we did get an email.
Yes.
Which we are going to address on the next episode. We want Big Kev to be here to talk about
it. Yeah, because I think he might have some good input on that.
Yes, absolutely. He has more.
I mean, I know I have some input, yeah. And I'm sure you probably have some as well. But
yeah, but I definitely want to hear his perspective
right.
anyway. So we're not going to talk about what the email is about. But
right.
to you who's waiting to hear that address, we did get it. We read it. We think it's a good topic. And we want to make sure Big Kev here to chime in.
Yeah, so yeah. That'll be probably next episode, I would say.
Indeed.
What I was going to say was, I think by the first or second week in May, most of the networks have to announce their renewals and cancellations. So we are only a few scant weeks away
for example,
I'm still waiting on Almost Human. It hasn't been canceled.
Oh, really?
It hasn't been renewed yet either. But it's again, I haven't heard that Fox, outside of Gotham, which is still only in pilot mode, I haven't heard that Fox has anything huge going on next season. So
no.
If the ratings were like so kind of okay with a little bit of an uptick and a little bit of a down, it might be.
You're talking about Hannibal?
No, I'm talking about Almost Human.
Oh, Almost Human. Okay, sorry.
It might be okay to even bring it back on a short order.
Or it could be mid-season replacement. It could be February, not fall.
Oh, you know what did get renewed? Community got renewed.
Oh, right.
And Donald Glover is coming back.
What?
Next season, yes.
Oh, how is that not news? How do we miss that?
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
Because I just thought about it now, and I didn't actually see it anywhere
online.
Community
is a show that will not go away for a good thing.
I'm happy for them because I think with the new season, they will hit their syndication number.
They will hit
that number they need because they're like three episodes shy at the end of this season.
They'll
hit their syndication number
and then they'll be
next
forever.
Season. That show is so good.
It is good.
It is
Dan
so
Harmon
good.
Back. You can tell too. They're allowed to get weird.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm happy.
So good. Unlike Archer, which is so unwatchable this season.
I disagree with you. I almost
hate Archer.
No,
I am almost bored watching Archer every week.
No, I disagree with you.
Yeah,
it's still funny.
No, it lost something. Archer is still funny.
Yes.
Archer is still funny.
Yep.
And what's her name? Prego.
Lana.
Their dynamic is still great. But I cannot stand Charlene, whatever, Outlaw Country.
Outlaw Country,
Yeah, I can't stand that. I can't stand Pam this season. She's almost unwatchable to me.
I think, and this has been the case with a lot of shows I've watched recently, it's a pacing thing where I was totally okay with this. If this was going to be like resolved, then they'll get back to something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's gone on a little too long.
We get it. Like Pam is addicted to Coke.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we get it. I'm glad she's finally acknowledging that she has a problem.
I don't think this season was bad. I like that they tried something new. I'm with you where I'm like, can we wrap this storyline up, please?
Right. Can we figure out
and
a different way to do it?
And this last episode lets me think that they're doing that. Like they're clearly going to bring him in.
Right.
You know, it's the CIA.
Right.
Coke.
So
I think they're going to wrap it up and make them agents
like,
again.
They'll become some sort of like independent agent or like independent contractor working for.
You'll see that come back. Also, I think it's cool that the show has not established when it's taking place.
Because
it's like
whatever.
The Cold War, but they have cell phones.
Yeah. Yeah.
they mention shit that's happened. Yeah. It's awesome. So still fun to watch, but I agree with you. I feel like the writers are like, we're going to have fun.
I do want to say that, and I don't remember who off the top of my head, but I got a handful of tweets after last week's episode with the Benoit balls drop.
Nice.
People who appreciated it. So I'm glad I'm glad it was acknowledged by some of our listeners.
You know who we want to acknowledge?
Who?
Suburban Vinyl.
We do want to acknowledge Suburban Vinyl in lovely
Waldwick, New Jersey.
In lovely Waldwick, New Jersey. They do have some stuff going on this week. They have a new artist series, The Spirit of Graffiti, I think is the name of the piece, and I apologize, but it's going to be an artist series. So I think they're going to take this platform piece, who it's designed by Nemo and sculpted by Task One, I think. But they're going to have each week or each month, they're going to have a different artist do their interpretation on that platform, and they're going to be a limited run
of
pieces, I believe. But that starts this week.
I used to do graffiti, so.
Yeah?
That's kind of cool.
Now, did you do like real graffiti, or did you just like tagging? Because I don't consider tagging. Just tagging, like
I want to be clear. When you're saying tag, do you mean like put your name with the marker versus like bombing and actually putting a throw up, like actually having a piece on the wall?
Well, I don't necessarily mean with just a marker. I mean like you literally just write your name.
No, I didn't just write my name in black ink.
Right, like so, like if you just tag your name, but it's like, you know, it's like the bubble letters and it's got like your crazy style and stuff like that. That's okay. I'm down with that. I see a lot of that where I work. Actually, I take a lot of photos of that where I work because. I work at next to a rail yard.
Right. Oh, that's fucking
which
awesome.
Which is great because I get to see
some nice end-to-end trains. And
yeah,
shit.
And I've seen some really awesome stuff, and I love seeing stuff cycle back.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see something, and I'm like, 3 months later, I know that it's completed its tour of the country because it's back.
Yep.
That kind of thing. I love that. But
that's really cool.
So that's really cool. But, like, no. Did you just do, like...
No.
Like,
I
mean, chicken scratch?
No, I didn't do that.
I
did that too, you know, when at the end of the night you're on a subway and you just want to put your name everywhere because that's part of the fun of going out in a ski mask. Not that I did that. I'm hypothetically saying that because that would be implying that I did that. No, but yeah, the artistic stuff's fun. Go out with friends, spray paint.
I did graffiti.
Yeah.
I know some people still look down on it, but I did graffiti.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
People look down on everything.
But anyway, Suburban Vinyl and lovely Walter, New Jersey.
Do it.
Of course, you can check them out online at suburbanvinyl.com.
Indeed.
There is a coupon if
a
you shop there.
A coupon code.
And it is?
It is Big Kev.
And it will get you
10% off your entire order. The entire order.
That's correct.
So put all those things in your cart, much like Prime.
That's right.
Affects everything there.
10%.
Boom.
And of course, if you go in the store and mention coupon code Big Kev, you may or may not get a lollipop.
I think we're pretty solid on you do get a lollipop.
See, but here's my issue. I can't speak on behalf of their stock.
Correct. Yes, I don't want to do that.
So what happens if someone goes in there on Friday and is like Big Kev and
gets a lollipop.
Rob is there and he's like,
I don't have any.
I'm out of lollipops.
Then he owes you two lollipops.
Right. I don't want to be held accountable for said lollipop.
So the views that we're saying do not represent the views that we're saying.
That's correct.
Correct.
You may or may not get a lollipop.
There you go. We hope that they do, but we have no claim. That's right. Got nothing to do with it.
That's right.
But definitely check them out. Suburban Vinyl.
Yes, please
and
check them out.
Suburbanvinyl.com.
That's right.
Cool.
All right, let's move forward with some stuff.
Let's do it.
I'm not going to mention any comic books that came out this week.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some significant things, like Superior Spider-Man came out this week. Yay, but whatever.
Isn't that significant, though?
It is. I don't know. what I do want to talk about, though, is just kind of like broad spectrum stuff.
Sure.
Like I've personally decided to go back and read all of Annihilation Conquest and the 2008-2009 run of Guardians of the Galaxy. So those of you who don't know, Annihilation Conquest is what leads up to the formation of that version of the Guardians.
Okay.
That you see in the film and that you see in the current Marvel Now universe. I read it back then, but if you ask me a question about it,
don't remember.
I couldn't tell you a thing. I mean, it was, you know, I can't.
How is it?
I'm enjoying it so far. It's really space opera-y, and it's really different than any other Marvel book you read.
I feel like that's the idea with Guardians, though.
It is.
It's to make it a different book, different than the rest of Marvel.
I shouldn't say that any other book you read, but like, I feel like the Marvel space universe.
Yeah.
So like, Guardians, the Eternals, Nova Corps, Quasar,
right,
like that kind of stuff is really its own
thing,
beast.
Yeah.
Sure, it crosses over with Avengers and there's interaction and play, but it really is its own writing style, character style. And I like it for
it's
that
got its
reason.
Own corner of the Marvel universe.
So its own corner of the sky.
Yeah,
that's cute. But yeah, so I've gone back and I'm reading that and I'm really digging it.
Yep.
So, and of course I'm doing that because Guardians is coming back out. I'm trying to just refamiliarize myself with some stuff. I'm trying to think what other things that I'm reading right now that I'm really, really, really enjoying. Oh, I started reading Runaways again.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just was like, I think I want to read Runaways again.
Was it because of Saga?
It could have been partially because of Saga.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, I know I've been talking about this for a while, but unlike Big Kev, this will actually happen. I am rereading all of Saga to catch up, and we're going to talk about it on the next episode.
Cool.
Because I think it'd be good to have a conversation about a book and about a story as opposed to just telling you that it's out and who drew it.
All right.
That's all. Not an insult to anything. Just, you know, sometimes it's nice. We had, a while back, we had our...
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about a plot line, so I thought it'd be good to talk about Saga, which we all enjoy here at the show. So you want to talk a little bit about it.
There's a guy on Twitter, I'll try to post a link to his Etsy shop, but he did these awesome Saga Star Wars mashup prints.
Yeah, I could see Saga taking place on planets in Star Wars.
Yeah, but it was cool. It was like he kind of did like the New Hope poster,
right?
You know, but like with the Saga characters instead. But it was just well composed. It was really solid. It was nice. I'm gonna give what could amount to the worst plug for a book ever.
Okay,
because I don't remember the name of the book, but I'm gonna recommend that you check this book out.
Yeah,
It won't be hard to find because it is It's, I'm assuming, published by Disney Marvel, and it's a Disney book that's based on the original companion to the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland.
What
so when the Disneyland
fuck?
First opened, the okay. ride in Disneyland first opened, the Haunted yep. Mansion, there was a second part to the ride. There was supposed to be a lead up to the ride. So instead of just a queue, it was kind of like a museum of weird oddities kind of thing. And so they uncovered all of these notes and original plans for what that was. And I think the artist's name is, or the writer's name is Brian Seifert, S-E-I-F-F-A-R-T, F-F-E-R-T, Seifert. But they took all of these notes and kind of gave life and story to that original concept. And it's fun.
So it's a book based on a book, based on an archive, based on an amusement park ride.
Kind of. But it's a book.
Some cross medium shit right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun. Like, I'm not gonna say it's like the most amazing
yeah.
dramatization of anything you've ever read. It's not gonna win. I may not win an Eisner Award.
Gotcha.
But it's a good fun read. I'll find the name of it and I'll post it. It's like Haunted Vault or something. I'll find it. But I've been reading it. I think the third or fourth issue is out now, and it's really good. I was surprised by it. I caught my attention because it was Disney.
Yeah, that's
I was like,
surprising.
I kind of feel like
you should read a Disney
I should
book.
Read a Disney book that's different than
Did
like
the parents die?
General Disney characters. No, not really. Which
huh,
I know
that's
is
weird.
Which is weird, right? Yeah. People do die, but gotcha. Not really the parents. Not really. So yeah, I'll post the link to it in the show notes.
Cool.
You can find it.
Check it out
if you want to check that out.
If you're listening on your iPod Color.
Yeah, yeah, on your iPod Color. You know, in a couple of weeks, I can't do the show because I will be away in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
so you
sad.
And Big Kev are welcome, obviously, to do the show.
I'd be happy
absence.
To.
But if you don't yep. do the show, I was actually going to suggest that maybe what we do
Re-air
is
episode.
We take episode two,
yep,
the original episode two, and kind of did what we did with episode one.
Yeah.
Do like a little clippy recap
little clippy
fun
thing.
Show. Like we'll do it, we won't do it on Wednesday. The three of us will get together and kind of and publish it that week. I don't know. I was just thinking. Tossing it out there.
Interesting idea.
But anyway, product. I actually have no new product
yep.
this week. Mostly because anything that I have coming to me hasn't come yet. I don't like to review stuff
that
too much
have.
That I don't have.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that October Toys yesterday or the 15th was their new monthly release. This month it was a glow in the dark baby deadbeat, which is kind of cool if you like glow in the dark figures, if you like the baby deadbeats. But also they did the mascot for 3D Retro, which is an awesome looking robot dude.
Yeah.
And it's in the flesh color again. These are like $2 a piece, so they're not bad price. Both are still available, I believe. So if you go over to octobertoys.com, you can grab one of those. I do want to tease that.
Ooh.
Oh, actually, one other thing. ToyCon just wrapped up, which is like the designer con version of in the UK. So it's all like, you know, like designer, the vinyl and stuff, resin guys. You know, guys like Rich Page, who we talk about all the time on the show, friend of the show.
Gotcha.
Dr. A was there, a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
But most of those guys have their product up in their individual shops now. So like Doc A has some stuff. Rich Page has some great stuff that he did. He redid some Merc pieces. He's got two or three new pieces that he did. So check out all that stuff. Check out their pages. And
if anyone wants to get me into this stuff, I don't know what it is about this General Grievous on Sideshow.
Yes.
But it's fucking awesome looking. And I was so close to buying that
shit.
Is
it the 12-inch figure or is it a statue?
It's bigger. It's like $200. I don't know what it is.
I
don't think it's a 12. I think it's larger than a 12-inch.
It could be a 12-inch.
I think it's larger than that.
Well, it could be 12-inch scale, which would probably make it like a 16-inch figure.
Yes. That sounds right.
You know,
fair enough.
It could be that epic scale, which is like 18 or 20 inches, though. So there's a bunch of weird.
It's fucking awesome looking. And I'm like, I'm really tempted.
Do you remember reading?
Yeah, was it articulated?
Okay, so it's not a statue then.
No, and his arms, because you know, General Grievous arms separate into forearms. Yeah, it can do that, and it comes with four lightsabers and shit. I'm like, that.
I'm guessing it's part of the 12 inch line. Which it's probably bigger than 12
inches.
Right,
because General Grievous is fucking
huge.
Yeah.
So, but I'm guessing it's part of that line.
I don't know, but it looks awesome. And $200
for that too, believe it or not.
No, I'm not complaining that it's expensive. Let me be more clear. I am complaining that's an expensive. I'm not saying rip-off expensive. I'm saying I get that would be the price for it.
Is it actually out already or is it coming out?
No, it's been out for a while. I don't think it's a new release at all. We were on the website the other, and I just clicked through and I'm like, what else do they have? Holy shit, I want that.
Because I really like the Sideshow FlexPay. Yeah. It's dangerous, but I like it.
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could commit to that.
You know what I like about it? You're not paying extra.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not paying extra.
I feel like it's really for collectors. It's like, we're not going to fuck you over with credit.
Right.
We know you want this stuff. Right. We know not all of you have $400 to drop every week when we come out with something cool. Pay us when you got it.
And there are multiple plans. It's like a 3-month, a 6-month, a 9-month, whatever it is.
I have nothing against that place. Yeah. It's just if anyone wants to send me one, I will wait a week to see if someone sends me one instead. No, but
fair enough.
But it looks really cool. Product, this kind of breaks the mold a little bit.
Yeah, go for it.
Have you seen the Project Aura? Are you familiar with this guy?
I am not familiar with this guy.
So Google Glass went on sale yesterday for one day only to anyone who wanted Google Glass. So you didn't need an invitation or anything like that. You could just buy it for $1,500. And unfortunately, I need a left eye, not a right eye edition. Right. And they don't make that, so I couldn't get it. But Project Aura is another project that they made, which is basically a smartphone that is built on modules.
Oh, I did see this.
Right.
Which
is a product, right?
Yeah. They're saying the last smartphone you'll ever have to buy once it comes out.
It's cool. So basically, Google's Advanced Technologies Research Department, I don't remember what they're called. The ATAP is what it's
right.
And they're from DARPA. And basically, Google makes a skeleton, and you can buy processor, camera, radio, Wi-Fi, the screen. So you choose basically all the different components that you want.
Right.
And the idea is that there's going to be a $50 phone that's released next January,
right,
which is pretty soon for a whole brand new ecosystem and technology coming out. But then if you want to, you can say, you know what, I need better battery, and say, I'm going to dump this and buy a different battery. So it's a modular phone.
Camera, right?
Every single piece is module.
The processor, too? New processors come out, you just plug
exactly.
and play.
So it's not necessarily made to be for the highest end, which it can be, because you can buy the highest end directly from the manufacturer of the parts. Because think about right now.
I would think the only thing you can't upgrade on something like that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I would think you would not be able to upgrade the display.
Sure you can. The display is a separate module.
It is a separate module as well.
So the endoskeleton is literally what's built in is it's a combination electromagnet and something else, which means that there's no power, but it's a magnet, so it can't come undone. So the pieces don't break apart even if you drop the phone, which is fucking cool. They had to invent a technology, and the pieces talk to each other really well. But every other piece, the camera, the radios, meaning connecting to LTE or Sprint or whatever carrier you want, the charging port is interchangeable. The battery is interchangeable. The display is interchangeable. The receiver is interchangeable. So let's say like you really need a fucking awesome camera, but you can't afford a great display. Spend the money on the camera. Get a shittier 720 display instead of the 1080 display.
Right.
And wait. The only thing you can upgrade is the frame comes in different sizes. So if you buy the one that's going to make an only 4.7 inches largest screen and you want to get a 6-inch screen, you have to buy a new skeleton.
But you can buy a new skeleton.
You can buy a new skeleton and keep your components.
And are the skeletons going to be around that $50 price point, $100 price point?
The skeleton with enough components to make the entry-level phone will be $50.
Which is cheap.
Which is awesome, with no contract. And that's the idea. They wanted to make this project so that someone like me, I'm going to be like, let's max out all the shit, and then I can upgrade my phone. That sounds cool. But they also want it to be for the 5 billion people who don't have smartphones, $50 to get on the web.
Right.
That's an amazing price point, right? So it sounds like
a really cool. And you won't need a contract, so you really could use it as just like a Wi-Fi device.
Yep. So it's nice. It's a really cool idea. And their developer conference just happened yesterday, and so April 15th and 16th, I think, was the developer conference,
right,
where they've officially talked about it. There's a really cool article on The Verge about it.
And they're saying January 2015 or 2016?
January 2015. So so what's really cool about this division is Google has all these different projects called moonshot projects, which are, let's just come up with a crazy idea and do it. And what's different about this specific division is they have a deadline of 2 years. And this comes from DARPA. Are you familiar with DARPA? It's used in every sci-fi movie on the planet. But the head of it now is they have a small group of people and a bunch of contractors, and they have to take the idea to actually, it at Google, to be sold in an actual product within 2 years, or else it doesn't exist. So they've built this entire fucking ecosystem, this entire project, and they have to start selling it next year, and they're ready to do that.
Do you think it'll take off?
Fucking cool. Will it take off? That's a great question. I think so. I think they're going to hit a market of some kind. Will it be the biggest thing ever? Maybe not. I think it's hard to, you know, how do you go build that?
Right. Well, you know what my concern is?
I think geeks are going to be all over it.
Yep.
And I think it will hit entry market.
My concern is that people are going to be intimidated by it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, I don't know how to turn my phone on, let alone how to start plugging modules in, right, and all that stuff. And even if you don't have to do any of that stuff, you know the way the brain works. You're like, but I can do that stuff, and I don't know how to do that stuff, so I'm afraid of it.
Right. Well, there's that choice thing. But here's what I see happening, right? Depending on what retailers they go to, you know, AT&T will, all the carriers are pushing, and it's fucking bullshit, and don't you dare do it, listeners, because I'm your friend. They're pushing the don't buy a contract plan, just pay us monthly. Right. But think about the people who don't want to subsidize their phone. So you go in and they say, hey, we have an even cheaper plan for you. $30 a month for 2 gigs of data and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And just spend $60 on this phone and we'll give you a base model. And then they leave. And then later there's another website. There's another store. They can come back and they can say, you know what? I'm actually a photographer. Let's upgrade your photo module for you and blah, 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 blah. So I'm thinking once this gets layered into an ecosystem, this is something really cool. But you know, who knows? I will definitely check it out when it comes out. I want to see it in person. If it comes to a developer or conference thing, I'm going to check it out.
I think for $50, I would probably buy one myself.
Just
to play with it.
Right.
And see how it works.
Yeah.
I may never attach a contract to it. I may simply just...
Yeah, probably not.
You know, because I kind of like my contract. But,
yeah.
But, you know, but I might never want that. I might be okay with just having a Wi-Fi device that I could kind of really have control over.
Yeah. So it's really cool to this Android idea of open source kind of and bring it to hardware is such a forward thinking idea that Google's going to be like, no, we're pushing out technology that would be 5 years in the future next year. So prepare in January. So I tip my hat to however you feel about them. Yeah. I get that. Change your password.
That's pretty epic.
But I'm excited. It's pretty cool. Epic.
So, yeah. One thing I just want to mention, and then we should wrap up. Actually, the wrap up music is kind of playing. Right
it's
now,
playing.
Right?
It's playing. Yeah.
I don't want anybody to say, you guys should talk about PAX East. Honestly, and even Coke Logic was like, I'm not doing the game stuff this week. There wasn't a ton of stuff to come out of PAX East. Aside from Borderlands.
Yeah, Borderlands pre-sequel. Yeah.
Which is the filler movie, right, between the two.
It's like a Star Wars cartoon. It's in between two. It looks kind of cool.
Well, the Borderlands games are cool. So,
You're shooting shit in zero grav. It really looks like a DLC content that went way bigger. So hopefully the price point isn't a full $60 game because it's going to be on old gen now. You know, it's going to be a 360 game.
Right.
360 PS3, not exclusive. So, you know, whatever. What I'm excited about is Star Citizen. I didn't look at it yet, but Star Citizen is a really cool game, and they just released, I believe, the dogfighting module. It's a space game.
Huh.
But yeah, there's nothing huge coming out of PAX
East. About Watch Dogs? What happened to that?
Watch Dogs is coming out this month. Next month in May.
Finally.
So that's coming out.
But they've dumbed it down quite a bit from what it originally was.
The graphics, so the controversy was they released a new trailer showing gameplay.
Right.
And the console, next-gen console gameplay, the graphics looks worse than when they first announced it. So the PC version will look even better than what they originally promised back in E3 a year or two ago. But the console versions, they didn't dumb down. The graphics aren't as good as what they promised.
Why did that happen?
No one really knows. And as far as I recall, now when a GameStop comes up, you're going to correct me and quote me and make me look like an idiot and cut this part out where I admit that I'm not 100% sure. But my guess is they couldn't get it to run, or they couldn't optimize it in time, or they'd rather have a more polished, fun game than try to get a couple more polygons. So I'm okay with that. I'm annoyed because I'm going to have to go get the PC for Notice I say get. I'm not buying the game twice.
Yeah.
I will have it, but I will you know, to see it in all of its awesome graphic glory. But I'm excited to play the game. You know, it's the next-gen game that everyone's looking forward to. So Watch Dogs will be coming out soon. We're excited to see that. But so, I don't think anything new happened at PAX East. I think they just showed more trailer shit.
Aside from what looks like people had a good time. I think that was kind of
Which
is okay, too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not
I
at all.
I just don't think there was any huge news or anything to come out of it.
I wanted to say this. So I am a... you can say what you want. I am a Halo fan. It's a universe that I'm really into. And I'm a Bungie fan as well. I played their games before Halo, of course, and Marathon and all that stuff, if any of you remember Marathon. And Marty O'Donnell is a... He's the composer. He's been doing their music forever and got fired like a couple days ago and just tweeted about it today with no warning. So Marty O'Donnell just got fired from Bungie. No one's really sure why.
Wow.
I'm not trying to fuel the fire at all. I'm just, I really like his music. And
so you're not saying fuck Bungie.
I don't know what happened.
Okay.
It's the board of directors. It's not anyone Bungie. So it's Activision, you know, whoever the board of directors are with Activision. No one knows the whole story.
Oh, we could say fuck Activision.
He was fired with no cause.
Right.
He was just terminated. We don't know why. No one knows why. Fuck. I mean, yes, fuck them, whatever. But yeah. I, no one knows why. But that sucks. And I'm really sad.
All right. So fair enough.
There you go.
Well, with that.
With that.
Sick code.
Yes.
I think we will end this episode different than we end up all episodes.
Ooh. Yeah.
By saying, happy birthday, Big Kev, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.